It's Tuesday night, September 10th.
Lord, we ask for your blessing at our meeting tonight, O Lord.
Yes.
Again, we would be able to express your truth, Lord. Not because we know it, but because we've received it from you.
Amen.
We thank you for your faithfulness in that. We ask for it tonight, O Lord, and that there would be a particular blessing, not just on expressing it, but receiving it, that our ears would have a particular anointing to receive your truth, receive your word, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen.
And our hearts.
Yes, and our heart too. That's right.
Amen. Amen.
There's a scripture that I keep alluding to, and I can't ever remember where it is, but it's in the 13th chapter of John. And I think it has to do with just before Jesus' feet, or Jesus was washing the disciples' feet.
Third?
I think it's the 13th chapter.
Verse 3?
Okay, yeah, it's in the 13th chapter, and it's just a funny way that it's worded, and in the second and third verse, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knew, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. What do you mean? What do you mean he knew it? I mean, was this a mystery to him? What do you mean? Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. It sounded like it was a revelation to him. You follow what I'm saying or not?
Yeah.
I just think the idea that he says he knew he came from God, not that he was a God, and that he was going back to God.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's a revelation to him.
But that is a little funny. You're right. That's included among the things that were revealed to him. Came from God.
Well, I don't know. He said Jesus knowing that the Father had given him.
Yeah, I suppose that it could be just worded funny. But it almost looks like it's a revelation to him.
It does suggest that at that time, it would be a little odd to throw that in if it was always the case.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, that is a scripture that I keep alluding to. I happened to hear it on the tape. Or on the CD thing or whatever I got. I didn't even know what I got anymore.
And as far as I'm concerned, the way that Jesus came from God is something that might require a spiritual revelation as opposed to, well, yeah, I remember, whatever.
Yeah.
It might be that knowledge was granted to him
yeah.
by way of Revelation.
I had a funny thing happen the other day. And I know you guys have mentioned about my memory as far as the scriptures and so forth. But, and I thought, well, this is, I was watching Jeopardy. And they asked a question, and I thought, I wonder how Charlie would do with this one. And I knew the answer. And nobody did but me. I mean, nobody on there knew the answer to the thing. And anyway, and so I've been waiting to get a chance to ask Charlie. Because he's got this ability with these, what do you call these little, when you...
factoids or something?
With questions and
trivia?
Simple.
Huh.
Trivia.
Trivia.
With trivia things. So, do you know what town that Goliath was from?
Oh my, was that Gath?
There you got it.
Very good.
He's very, very good.
Yeah, can't slide nothing past her.
But how do you know that?
I don't know. He was from Goliath.
He's from the Philistines. Right. A town in the Philistines.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Gath. Nobody knew that. They could have got a lot of money if they would have. And I thought, how do I know that? I don't know how I know it. It doesn't matter.
Right.
If we can remember something, you know how we get it, how it comes? It's the mercy of God.
Mm.
Yeah, whatever we have is God's mercy. And that's the way and it's like we can't take credit for anything because God is the one that gives it, and God's the one that, it comes from Him.
Well, it's funny because when you first said it, I have no idea. And then,
The same thing with me.
Yeah, right.
I thought, well, I know what that is.
Yeah.
You know, what town Goliath was from.
I can't speak for Brother Ken, but I just make myself feel better in saying, I don't know if that's really salvational information or not.
It's not.
I'm not going to make a claim that it is.
I thought to myself, I bet you Charlie knows this one.
I should.
There may come a time when it's necessary to know that.
It may be. Well, and the flip side is every jot and every tittle. So I say that with reverence.
I'm not going to make too much of a spiritual claim on behalf of my knowing that.
Keith and I were having a conversation about this, and I was just making a comment that I have been in the Word and things, and I said, I do not have, in a natural way, I do not have a good recall of where. I do have a better handle on the themes or what's being said. You know, I sort of remember stories better, but maybe not the details. Mm-hmm. And I commented, I said, however, you know, I'm around you three, and I go, yay. And I go, I don't know.
I'm probably not any better than you at this.
But it's funny. Different brains work in different ways.
Yeah.
There are things that people, they remember, they know. I am really very much in the dark about, you know.
Well,
although from all the listening and reading, you know, certain things now, I may not know where they're at, but I know kind of what it said.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. For instance, you had known that Jesus had been aware very early there in the book of John that Simon, Judas was going to portray him. You remember that? It wasn't like it was a surprise to me that it was there, but I didn't know that.
Well, to me, not to dwell too much, but when you think about the comments in 1 Corinthians 14, I believe, where how is it, brother, that one knows, one has this, one has this, one has this, mm-hmm. and I kind of chalk it up to, well, the Spirit is working in all of us, but what we're able to retain and how, mm-hmm. I think it varies because we are still all different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of us are noses, some are ears, some are tongue, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some are in sight of politic, you know.
And the intake of the scriptures is not for memorization purposes.
No.
No.
That's what it's for. And because that has caused me to wonder about the statements that Jesus made And he says, and I say this, or you know, if you continue in my word. And that's like, is that his word or God's word? And I begin to realize something. The same thing with you guys. You're listening and you're getting the heart of God in it. What you're after is the heart of God. What does God like? What doesn't God like? What does God want? What doesn't God want? So after a while, it's not so matter. It's not so much a matter of remembering the scripture. It is, you know now what he wants. And I think with Jesus, the same thing. He says, he calls it his word. Is it his word or is it God's word? Or is it God's heart and his word? And does it matter? Do you follow what I'm saying? Does it matter?
Yeah.
That is God's word.
Mm-hmm.
If it's God's heart, it is God's word.
And if he's full of God, what could be coming forth from him but God?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. And if he, God has given him full authority, you know, and that's what makes, and that's why the enemy is so easily able to go in and deceive people. Because he, you know, kind of looks like a duck kind of thing. It's a, you know, right. Even though there's many, many scriptures where he says he is not the Father, and he separates them all the time.
Right.
But someone else looking in go, well, you know, I can't. And I think it's fair in some ways. You can't distinguish, you know, where the Father is in Christ and where Christ goes, and, you know, if he has the fullness.
Right. And yet, we have become aware that he was not omniscient.
Right, and I think that's
he
been
was
a...
not omniscient.
That's been a... I think we've been, kicked that around, and there's been some revelation there. Because it's very, very important.
Omniscient is all knowing, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We've wondered, like, when, you know, the water and the wine, and was that said, did he know until it actually happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and the day, he says, no one knows the day.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, yeah, and so, so he does not know everything.
So,
you know what's interesting about that, because he uses the story of the thief, right, coming in, and, you know, well, that same story is related to God also, somewhere, I read. It says, as a thief in the night. Well, I always thought, yeah, it's when Jesus comes, but it actually was showing that it's God who is still creating when Jesus comes. I don't know how it made the reference, but it you know, it made that not Jesus just saying it. It showed that God was in control of that also, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, but I can't.
And I guess it stands to reason that Jesus would not be the boss of when he returned.
Yeah.
Especially since he says no man knows the day or the hour.
Right.
So
it's, somehow it's not his call. I read it, and it was relating to God, not Jesus. Setting.
Yeah, right.
Which it does that with a couple different times with stuff where we, you know, it's, what's another one? I don't know. But
he would be mystified in the same way as the rest of us.
Yeah.
About the,
you know, I was, you know how you say you're learning God's heart or whatever. But I read the first part of Ephesians today, and I was really impacted.
That is quite a book, isn't it?
Yeah, it really says some stuff right from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'd like to just share a few verses, because it's interesting. In 3, and it's Paul, of course,
Blessed, chapter 3 or verse?
No, verse 3 of 1. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah.
Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should, now listen, this is, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's quite a position we're being put in if we choose. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now this is a little confusing because I think a lot of people assume it's Jesus' will, but the whole thing starts with God, and I don't know why he says it like that, but to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in him, because here it gets confusing. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So, see, it wasn't Christ before that. It's tricky. Obviously it's Christ's blood and whatever. But he just kind of throws that in and then goes on. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Which all that lines up with verse 4, that, being God who predestined us, But, if you read that a few times, you start realizing you got some pretty good stuff.
I can
have faith.
If Paul were to have someone who was helping him with his writing, they would have said, hey, clarify some of these pronouns here. Because he goes on and on. Hey,
I know.
What are we talking about? Are we talking about God or are we talking about Jesus?
Yeah.
Which is it? Come on now. I believe it's wrong that he needed assistance from a writing. I think that the Holy Spirit has designed that ambiguity in there.
Amen.
Yeah.
I think it's probably intentionally not clear.
Uh-huh. Right.
It requires the Holy Spirit to really.
Yeah, or it's both, or or whatever.
Yeah, because in 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure who that's referring to, but...
Well, I think, we're really, the to me, and I'm open to being told that I've not seen this clearly, but, if you look at 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, and in my mind, his grace is referring to the Father. And whereas he hath made us accepted into the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And that's where it kind of, there's that shift, because we know that the redemption comes through Christ's blood.
Right.
But, you just have to recognize that his grace and the one whose blood was shed is not speaking of the same person, but it flowed really well.
Uh-huh.
That's what I saw.
I guess I think he's putting that in here, saying this is what how you qualify for all this before.
That's the qualifier. Like, this is how this can happen.
Can happen for you.
And this is, you know, it's because of his blood. The forgiveness of sin is according to the riches of his, you know. So, but then he used the riches of his grace again after speaking about Jesus. So it's tricky. And I think really these are one of those things where you go, I just don't know that you read it and go, oh, I got it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, right.
You read it and you go,
no,
I can read this for a lot of years before.
I read it before,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And kind of, that's where I kind of recognized that there was that little off thing in there.
Uh-huh.
But when I read it today, I think the part that caught me the most was like verse, 3, 4, and 5, you know. Just who we are, who he's,
what he's
granted for us to be.
Yes, that is.
You know, and it was done before the foundation of the world.
Well, to kind of like help do the separation between, you know, the Father and Christ. I mean, the first half of verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
I mean. Those are two different people,
right?
Yeah.
Two different entities.
He knows how to specify those things in verses 1, 2, and 3, but, you know,
yeah.
But then he kind of fails after
yeah.
that. But as far as your point there, Ken, of, hey, what a glorious thing that is being made available to us. You know, what a glorious thing. And there is, I think what we have to do is not strive for it, but to make it, take it in, say, hey, this promise is something that is there. I'm taking that thing and I'm sticking it in me so it is part of me. No striving, just, hey, you know, it's faith, I guess, or something. But
yeah, I was going to say, I think faith.
Yeah, it's faith. But
you can have that position.
Yeah, right. But it's not, ooh, I'm going to do this thing really right to them to do it right.
You know. Yeah.
I take that thing, stick it in you.
But I know that at this point, I haven't taken it completely
in
me. You know? Because it's like I had to recognize it again.
Yeah.
And now pray about it, I think, and just ask Jesus to help bring it about, the Father's will.
Right,
it is the Father's will that this would happen to all his people.
Yeah. I think, though, there is an element of coming boldly before the throne of grace with it, though.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Come boldly before, you know?
Well, this is a proclamation of sorts.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say, hey, that's mine. I'm
Lord, I want that to come about.
Uh-huh.
Right. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Okay, so it's not an event.
It is.
It's ongoing.
Uh-huh.
He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven. And which are on earth, even in him. There's a lot, as Ken said, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
Because the inheritance, you know, that's the promise. That you would be sons and have the inheritance, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then it's all predestined, too.
You know, and then it's kind of cool in 13. In him you also trusted after, you heard what?
Word of truth.
The word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know, a lot of people actually don't have that gospel. They think they do. But they don't.
The doctrine of having...
Well, because they really don't know who Christ is.
Or the, you know.
You know.
That's a major revelation.
Yeah. It's because they haven't heard all of the truth yet. We haven't either. But we've heard it in that regard for pretty much, not all of it, but a good portion.
One of the major reasons that God wants us to listen to his word, and we see a lot of applications of it in the Bible, is because he wants us to want what he wants. You know, he says that David was a man after his own heart.
Yeah.
Well, David made some stupid mistakes. But the thing is, he wanted what God wanted. To the point that he says, when they said, you have your choice. You know, God's given you a choice here because of your sin. Against the enemy or whatever it is, or you could put yourself in God's hands. He says, I'll put myself in God's hands, whatever he wants to do. Let him do it.
I have a good question here that I'm not positive about. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So what is that? Is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Or what?
I can't think of anything better.
Me either. I know, because the only reason that it see, that's why I hear every little here, there, little. Doesn't it say that we were given the gift of the Holy Spirit as a promise of our inheritance?
Earnest.
It's called the earnest.
Yeah.
An earnest. So, you know, it's interesting because like I said, well, I don't think everybody has this gospel. And if you're not sealed with the Holy Spirit, which I don't know if you can say, you know, speaking in tongues, whatever, you know, that gift of the Holy Spirit coming on you.
And I said based on the fact that the more I hear the Word of God, the more I want the Word of God. The more I want to do what God wants. It's not a matter of all of a sudden, I'm not fighting some kind of a losing battle to do it. I just want it. And I think that's what God wants us to have.
Yeah, it's harder for it.
I kind of look at it as God wants us to have, to walk uprightly.
He wants us to want.
And we know with Christ's example that it is possible to do that.
Yeah.
Even though when we sit back and we think of ourselves and our condition, we go, I'm not, you know, the belief that I can do this is a faith position, not an actual, but what I get out of that is that God knows that this is possible, and the only way we can do that is, you know, with the Holy Spirit and other things that happen in us, because we basically are to overcome our lower nature. And we can do that through him.
Mm-hmm. I didn't read the next verse.
I wondered about that. Because right. That was the word. Yeah, is that a 14 kind of set?
Yep, there it is.
Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory?
What I have is, which is the earnest?
Yeah, okay. King James goes, which is the earnest?
So that
earnest.
Is the setting.
Yeah.
Right. Where the earnest.
I was feeling that sealed with the Holy Spirit. I feel like earnest stuff. So. Well, the reason for that is because
yeah,
like
first.
Not that we're trying to write the Bible, but there it is.
Right.
Read the whole thing.
Right. Exactly.
Don't take it out of context.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I say. So instead of having a knowledge of the Word of God. You know, you've got to write that word. If you're going to write it in our minds and in our hearts, is it going to necessarily be word for word? Or is it going to be the substance of that word? I mean, that's a little strange, but do you follow what I'm saying? And I think, you know, the other day Corky and I were talking about it. And, you know, he talks about, you know, the fact that we can relate to the word, we have the word in us and so forth, and he kind of felt like he's been dragging behind it, and I said, no, I don't think so. Because the substance of God's word is in him just like it's in us. You know what I mean? I'm getting the nature of that word in me. So the Bible says that by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature. Is that not what God wants to happen?
Partakers of his divine nature, sure.
So if you have his nature, you know, you're, after a while, you know by just by nature, you know what he wants. You will know, you know, and so you, it builds in you, it develops in you.
I don't see anybody in this group being behind.
No, I don't either.
No.
I just feel sorry for myself.
Oh, you're forgiven.
I'm still not perfected.
Well, you know what?
No, because when I sit here, it's like somebody, it's such a give from different ways that.
Well, there's so much
operation of grace.
Yeah.
Just like grace.
God has given us an unbelievable a story to look at. And, you know, I know that I haven't been really up on listening to the Old Testament or anything, but the story of David. And so Jesus is going to be set on his throne forever, on the throne of David.
Yeah.
That don't make any sense. David was a scoundrel. There's not too many people that have done what he did. You know, he sees this beautiful woman, and he takes her into his palace or whatever it is, and her husband is one of his main fighters or in his army, who has the utmost confidence and love for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And right. So he has him killed, and you think, yeah. Oh, he's quite a king, and you know, quite a man. And he has this Uriah the Hittite. He had him killed, and he's all comfortable now. He's got this beautiful wife, you know, but he's got this man's wife. The man is a faithful servant of David's. I told you.
You know, David brought him home so he could sleep with Bathsheba, right. So that his child would be appear to be Uriah's child, and because he's, you know, so dedicated to the war, he doesn't sleep with her.
But the point.
He says, why should I when my men can't?
Right.
But the point of the whole thing is, why does he say then that he's going to be seated on the throne of David? Or David is a man after his own heart. Yeah. It's like the man is a basket case.
At that point.
Well, it seems like it.
He wasn't always a basket.
But then you see all of these scriptures that are alluded to David, that he wrote them out of the book of Psalms, especially. How many of the scriptures in Psalms were written or attributed to David?
Yeah.
And so when David falls, we see the story of his fall in the Psalms.
Yeah. But he always comes back to God.
So but you see his heart. Right. And I'm saying that he wants what God wants. And you know what's happening to us? We're beginning to want what God wants. And that is not common. That's an uncommon thing. The church, per se, wants what it wants. We're beginning to want what God wants.
Yeah. You know, it's not good behavior. But, you know, when David is confronted by Nathan the prophet with that story.
Yeah.
You feel such utmost assurance. You're so sure that David's heart is going to respond just right.
A negative.
Right. To Nathan, yeah. Right. You know, I mean, there is a purity in his response to Nathan that I just see that turning the heart of God.
Yeah.
You know, the way he...
Yeah,
and Saul wouldn't have done it. Saul would have tried to cook up some excuse.
You would have thought that at some point there that David would have understood Nathan was talking about him. Wouldn't you?
Well.
Mm-hmm. He said, what should be done to such a person? He said, he should be destroyed. And that's what David said. He said, David, you're the man. You're who I'm talking about.
But. The whole point of it is, what's David's response then?
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So David repents.
Well, yeah, you know, David kind of gives you both sides of the lower nature.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed such faith and willingness to just whatever God wanted. And at the same time, you know, he also gave in to the lower nature of man, and but then recognized his sin.
Right.
You know, although God shone a pretty bright light on it, like, you know, he has seen all of this,
right.
And by his own lips, he confessed. He passed a judgment on what should happen. He said, this is what should be done. And so I said, well, this is you. And, it, you know, and what I always found, and you asked the question earlier, but what I always found interesting was, even in that, when the sin was recognized, he knew he was far better off to put his fate in the hands of God than to trust other lower nature men.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know,
What God
wants done here, I will willingly accept, you know. Because
yeah.
Even though, you know, it kind of comes back to God's way is the right way.
Yeah. Heaven forbid that what David did should be some kind of excuse for us, but...
It's an example.
It's a perfect right. example.
Yes.
To right. know that nothing is too bad for God to...
And
if you repent,
and I thought, what is it about David that's different? He wanted what God wanted. He was a man after God's own heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And which tells me then that what God is looking for in us is to want what He wants.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing, but that's what He wants. He wants to see in us somebody that wants what He wants.
Yeah, our will to become
the other
will of His will.
Thing about David was is he always come to know that God was the only one that could win a war for him, win a yeah. battle, rescue him from his enemies. You know, I mean, he would waver a little, like he you'll see it in the Psalms. In the psalm, he'll be wavering, but by the end, it's like, Lord, I'm in your hands. Only you can save me. You know?
Yeah, he truly...
And that's uh-huh. the heart, you know.
Truly, completely surrenders.
Yeah. Didn't the Lord promise him that he would have a son or something that would sit on an heir to his throne?
Yeah.
Only David probably didn't realize it was a kind of like a spiritual and physical heir, you know, because Solomon was after him, but Solomon in the end didn't fulfill what that was supposed to be either, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what the extent to which David was given some kind of promise that his descendant would be the Messiah. He may have been.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it said somewhere yeah. it was said, but I don't know.
Or at least a suggestion to that effect.
Right.
I mean, he kind of was cursed with some of his sons because of his sin.
Right.
You know, they didn't...
Absalom.
Yeah, they didn't follow the Lord. I mean, he had a couple of them. He said, you won't build me a house because you're a man of war.
Right.
And I always thought that was like being really hard on the dude.
I know. Yeah.
But I did exactly what you asked me to do, and he says, yes, but you're tainted. Well, by your will, I'm tainted. So I always found that particular study like, I did exactly what you wanted, and it's like, yeah, but it ain't going to fit. So, and I go, well, okay. You know, I ran into Brother Mark on the road, and we were talking a little bit about the difference between our plan and God's plan, and recognizing that our plan is all wrong, and God's plan is perfect. And just having to accept that. And I said, and I told him, I said, so, you know, my plan is for this to have already happened and this to be done and not yet, da 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 da. And God's plan is, no, not yet. And I said, so I'm struggling with learning patience that God says I need. And Mark's, you know, got his hand in the sling from his rotator cuff surgery. He goes, yeah, patience. It's a tough one.
You must have come right from work, huh?
I did. I'm trying to catch up. Chuck.
We did relate Sunday night that Sunday morning. That was such a good service.
Yeah. It was.
There were so many things, and they were being brought, and there was no contradiction. You know, it was just flowed on different areas.
Whatever there had been in the past, and not that there had been much, but whatever's been there, it's just gonna be erased and removed, so that there's a harmony that I have never seen. I've never seen anything like it ever, and. You know, and I have been a part of lots and lots of things, and in 60 years, and it's been, you know, a long, long time. And but what's happening and what's coming about is just this thing. It just excites me. You know, I left and I went out and had a good talk with Carol and Jeff, and I was excited. You know, it's a kind of uncommon. To be 83 and be excited, but I am, and Jeff would have had a good talk with Candy. Was it yesterday? And he's talked about wanting to. No, he's here. What I'm going to say about a deeper relationship with the Lord. I mean, it's just that the Word of God is doing something in Jeff and in Carol, as well as in us. And so it's a blessing. What a blessing. Of course, he'll hear what I'm saying, but I just...
It was occurring to me tonight that I don't know, but I'm not at all sure this would be possible to have the kind of thing that we have if we weren't all listening to the Word.
I don't think so.
For a long time.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right.
It wouldn't be happening. It would be.
Well, that's what I was trying to make the point was that God brings us to a point where we want to do His will. You know, we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." How many times have I prayed that without even knowing, with no meaning in it? You know, but it's becoming a meaning. The Lord wakes me up at 4 in the morning, and I'm wide awake at 4:30, and I go into prayer. And you know what the strange thing about it is? It's not time enough. It's always been a chore. He said, you know, don't say it's a burden to serve the Lord. It's not a burden. The next thing I know, it's 6 o'clock. And that's then I got to wake up the birds. I'm one of the birds.
Oh,
you know, we were talking about something about knowing all truth or
wisdom and revelation. I think it said.
Yeah, about all truth or whatever. Anyways, so you were speaking. I thought, you know, I don't know that. Oh, you know, and how much truth do we have? I don't think there's a thing as like. How much truth is there? It's not like you have all the truth or half of it. It's like you either walk in truth or you just don't walk in truth. Either you hear truth or you don't hear truth. You speak truth or you don't speak truth. But I don't think that there's such a thing as an amount of truth.
No. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree with you.
I don't think it's a measurable thing. You know,
yeah.
So when we say, well, yeah, we don't have all the truth, yeah, it's like, yeah, we don't, we should word it as like, yeah, well, you know, we're still walking in truth and we'll know more.
Yeah. You know,
Jesus talked there in John 18, talks about those who are of the truth,
mm-hmm.
hear His voice.
Right.
of the truth.
Right. So it's a place.
Which is what, it's a, right.
So it's, I was going to say, I think the concept you're saying is you can't think of truth as like it's X big. As you said, it's more a state of being. You walk in truth and you walk in faith, and whatever truth that you have at the time that the Holy Spirit has given you, you walk in faith that that is in fact God's will. And you get more revelation and you may have greater faith, but you're still walking in truth.
Right.
You know, I think, you know, when people say complete truth or total truth, then they're starting to try and, I don't know. First off, I don't know how you're sort of starting to pass a judgment like, well, I'm not deceived in anything and I've got everything, and I, you know, you really don't want to even try and take that stake and make that kind of position. You walk in truth, but you're not quantifying the truth as I'm walking in all truth. It's just the truth that you have that you walk in. Although we
That's a good point. I guess I was dwelling on that as you were speaking, and so can you say, I'm walking in the truth that has been given me.
You're walking in the truth that you have.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people don't know, they're not walking in truth because they don't have it.
Right. Any. And not
or
interested in it.
And yeah.
Not striving for
not
it.
Not striving for it. That's
and the way that it's worded in 2 Thessalonians, it says, and here's what it says, because they received, they didn't receive a love for the truth. Because they didn't receive a love for the truth. So what happens? It's God that gives us a love for the truth.
Mm-hmm. You know, that you might be saved.
Huh?
That you might be saved. Says yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah. It's not a little thing.
It's a big thing.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Now think about it. Here's this six words or so stuck in there.
Yeah.
That tells you whether or not you're saved.
Right. They receive.
Because they received not a love for the truth, that they might be saved.
It's a little rough, since it's something that's received.
Exactly.
But maybe you've got to have the right heart to receive it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think you have to be kind of meditating on it day and night. I think you have to be seeking it and listening to it. You know,
It's like because they were not open to receive a love for the truth.
Uh-huh.
And what do we have? We got a dilemma today in Christian circles. Pablo. Did you stop at the house?
Did I?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Oh, no, I Candy was going to write something down and I was going to have you bring it.
Oh.
That's okay. She read something to me today. I don't know if any of you heard about Benny Hinn. He has renounced the blessing pact.
Huh. Really?
Uh-huh. He has renounced it. And I don't know if he said it's evil or whatever. He's got all of a sudden, he's got a lot of people that are mad at him. He's got a lot of people that are happy with him. But he said, I apologize. And I told her, Kenya, I said, write this down and bring it over so I can read it. And anyway, you know what that showed me? That showed me a real man of God in there someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to comment. You were saying how most Christians aren't doing this, and that's because they don't have truth. And they're not really seeking truth because I think they have it.
Yeah.
And they're in this terrible place because if you think you have it, there's no reason to seek it.
Yeah.
And if you won't seek it, then you can't grow.
You know. But I think the whole issue is not just a real high priority. It's a kind of a, we got the truth. Something.
Well, but then they've been told that they're in a good place.
Yeah, right.
See, Candy read me some stuff on Benny Hinn.
Oh.
And I said, well, write it up, and when Pablo comes, send it with him. So I thought maybe, you
know. Oh, she probably has it there, and she's not home.
But he renounced the blessing pact.
He what?
He said he's ashamed.
Oh.
Of him preaching the best blessing pact.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you give $1,000 and God will make sure you get it back. He says, what kind of a God are we serpent? Remember the statement. Who is this God?
That's going to go right in the face of... I wonder what Olstein's going to have to make some kind of excuse for that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to kind of mess up a business model for quite a few people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trinity Broadcast Network might have some issues with this.
Right.
This doesn't fit the format.
He got a lot of people who were on his side.
When you think about it now, God says, well, I'm going to shake...
Yes, that's
my
right.
My people first,
shake everything you can be shaken.
Yeah.
That's right.
And judgment. Try the church first.
Judgment will first come to the church.
Uh-huh. This is a scripture that Keith quoted. I'm not sure why, but it says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You quoted it on Sunday. Famous scripture anyways. And so I read on it a little bit, and I didn't really... find what I was. I'm not even sure what I was looking for, but I didn't really find. So I went, okay. So you know, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength. Now, is there a prophet someplace or anything, anybody that is like that went through that? Let's say that he waited on the Lord and renewed his strength, or anything, a passage or anything similar that we can relate to that.
I think Elijah, was when he ran a long way, ran for 40 days or whatever, and then he was in this place, and there was thunder that came, and there was lightning and a huge earthquake. God was not in any of those things, but he was in still small voice.
Yeah, that was more in like being in a still place.
Yeah, yes, and I think it is silence.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Hebrew word is, but then he was in the silence, but he communicated that somehow in the silence, so it's, yeah. But now, maybe that's not exactly renewing, but I think something of that sort is occurring with Elijah in that instance. He comes away refreshed and strong and good.
Well, if this isn't any... Now, what exactly does it mean, really? I mean, I know it means exactly what it says. But, you wait on the Lord, and you... So, what renewed your strength means that you had strength, you lost it, and then you get it back. Is that wouldn't it be?
It's kind of saying rely on the Lord for your strength, to renew your strength. Don't try to do it in yourself, maybe. Mm-hmm. In that regard, kind of.
I think that is an underlying.
Yeah.
The scripture, it's just thrown out there, and
it just kind of makes sense to me. But now, when you really ask, well, I don't know. I just kind of took it for.
I think you do the right thing, Pablo, when you do ask the question, hey, what exactly does this mean? Mm-hmm. You know, we can kind of sail through it a little bit and without stopping and ask, what exactly does this mean?
And isn't that basically what Christ did? He talked about he would be going somewhere and then he would need to have some time and have to go off in prayer and be renewed. There was a time when he's walking through and the woman grabs his hem of his garment and he feels the power go out of him, you know. And when those situations happen, he always talked about, you know, needing to go back and pray and get built back up.
But, I see that, but I don't see on the renew your strength. That's not a word that's catching me, that renew. because it doesn't appear to me that Jesus like was mediocre in strength at any point.
He was depleted.
You know what I mean? Or that he wasn't listening to God.
The example about the woman of the blood, I mean, he spoke about, he felt his power go out of him.
Right.
So obviously, there was a level, and it decreased, and then it probably went back up.
That verse begins with the word but.
What word? Oh, you read Isaiah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Isaiah 40:30-31. Oh. And, but anyway, so the verses leading up to it, I don't know that it helps.
Well, it might.
But it says, hast thou not known, this is verse 28, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles, as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And
I mean, it's got to mean exactly what he says.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Well, but your point is that exactly what is it?
Right.
maybe another way to look at that is in the Old Testament, especially there was like they were going to go and make war against a particular group of people, but they would kind of like camp and then they had to wait. And they basically, what I got out of that, or what thinking about that was, they were waiting until God said, "Now's the time."
Yeah.
And so they're waiting.
That's patience, and God talks about patience a lot.
Well,
I guess you're just not going to get any renewed strength.
Yeah.
I think maybe this notion of renewed strength, because it goes on to say they will mount up with wings as eagles. I mean, that's spiritual. So, and imagine that. Imagine in the spirit being able to mount up with wings as eagles. That's pretty glorious.
Well, so I wondered, I'm saying as a renewal, as in like you're weighing down from whatever, but maybe renewal is just you're here, all of a sudden you get a boost.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here, I got a question.
Okay.
Do you ever feel like you need more strength?
I do, yes.
What would you do?
Wait. About the Lord.
Let me.
I mean, you got to kind of go back and just say, well, when I don't have strength, what do? I call upon the Lord, and then I wait for the strength,
You know, they run and they're not weary. That's a pretty good trick.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Let me read a couple of verses from the next chapter.
Okay.
Remember, now, that's not... That originally, it wasn't chapter by chapter as we see it. It was just a continuation. In verse 41, it says, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, made him rule over kings." So we're talking about Christ, God over Christ. He gave them as a dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bowl. Stubble. Anyway. So we're talking about spiritual things as well. I mean, I never saw that until I just read it. I never dawned on me.
No, it is messianic. I see it 100% spiritual. I'm not saying weak in the flesh by any means.
No, and I didn't mean weak in the flesh either when I asked you that question. I meant, when you feel
100% spiritual,
missing
strength
in the spirit. You know?
And that is kind of it. And if we go, yeah, I don't feel this, the only thing we do is we basically pray.
No, I'm going to go back. You guys remember that I saw prayer and I said, I feel like I'm this thing missing.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, it's like, because it's been few months, you know, maybe 6 months. And like I said, you know, God answered my prayers. He's blessed me. And like my work schedule is like crazy, but it still works on by its own, all by itself. You know what I mean? It's just, so I know that there, God is the orchestra of
conductor.
You know what I mean? But it's like, wait, I don't know. It's just like a, so I felt like I had all this, I don't know. Anyways, it's like, I don't know.
You know, in olden times, yeah. before we started the quest of the word, what we would say is, gee, I'm just kind of feeling dry in the spirit. Yeah. And we didn't try to explain it. It was just kind of the state we felt we were in. Mm-hmm. And then we would pray and ask for God to fill us up and ask for the Holy Spirit to come and strengthen us and replace that dryness with the living water of the Spirit. I mean, that's... when I hear you say that, I go, gee, it feels just kind of dead, kind of dry, and you go, well, there are times when it sort of feels that way.
But see, the thing is that I don't feel like I have departed. I don't feel like I have walked, you know, this the opposite of drawn nigh. I haven't drawn away. I don't feel either that God has walked away either.
No.
And he hasn't.
He hasn't, but this is just thing. So like Elijah, you know, like quiet. He's quiet. And he's not quiet because here I am, you know, talking to you guys. But not that I'm God, but you know, God has given me things to share or ask or whatever. So I wondered, so all of a sudden, am I gonna renew the strength and then sort like evil? You know what I mean? So well, that's what I wonder. I would, in the Bible, I was trying to think of any prophet or anybody that has that happened to him, so I could see. You know.
Well, I would just ask God about it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, seriously, yeah.
But you kind
Lord, give me an understanding of this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of describe David in a way.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, David basically is going along and he's doing things of faith and God is giving him insights, da da da. And all of a sudden he goes, I don't got nothing. I'm not hearing nothing. Everything just goes quiet on him.
You know what? I bet if you went and read a bunch of his Psalms, he says,
yes.
And I know he says stuff in there, renew my strength.
Yes.
And help me up, O Lord, and renew my countenance.
I was thinking, the Psalms describe being very desolate in the Lord and searching him with great agony, you know, just really.
Not that you're necessarily that you know, kind of a place, but it gives you the...
You're right, yeah.
It gives you
the template.
Right.
And then, and by the end, as Ken was mentioning here earlier, by the end of the psalm, man, it's pretty good.
if you're not renewed by the end of psalms, go back and read it again, because it is encouraging. But I just listened to you talk, and I'm going, well, that just sounds like someone who kind of feels like they don't, whatever just seems quiet or seems dry. But that's not a judgment that you've backslidden or you have done anything different. Mm-hmm. I mean, it explains why is it that sometimes, you know, the revelations and you feel like the Holy Spirit is just, you know, you're getting things and pop, 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 pop. And then there's times when you really haven't done anything different and it's just kind of quiet.
No, I'm not sad.
I don't see where. I think that's where I'm at. I don't. You know, I'm there a lot. Yeah. Just. But I always no. It's up to the Lord. This time,
I don't know if I should describe that. Describe it as if I was in a better place in the past. I just probably feel like. No, I mean, there's gotta be.
You feel like something should be happening.
No, you know what? No. No, not either. No.
Do you feel like you should be doing something more?
No, but you know, this is you know, a thought that came to me. It's like, so I'm wondering if, and maybe for us, for all of us, it's like, all of a sudden it's like, you know, right here. But all of a sudden we might renew our strength or get a strength boost. Mm-hmm. We as a church. And then, you know, sort of like eagles or whatever the thing is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. That came, you know, that came to me a few days ago.
Well, I've had the ups and I've had the downs. You know, I've been on both sides of this thing. And, you know, like when Deliverance started, I thought that was going to be it forever. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. There was a downside. And I just walked in a realm of the Spirit that I thought was going to be constant. And it lasted for quite a while. And then it slowly kind of worked out. And we saw some unbelievable things. When I first got saved, I thought, this is what it's going to be like. It wasn't. Because we're immature, we have to grow. And you know what? It says, and this is a strange thing, which doesn't make sense, but it says that Jesus grew in grace. And what was the other one? Grace and what?
Truth.
Huh?
Grace and truth, wasn't it?
Oh, in favor with God.
With God.
Oh.
Yeah, it was in favor
you
with
brought
God.
Grace and truth. Yeah.
He grew.
Right.
How did he have to grow? You know what I mean? He's the only begotten Son. And it says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. What do you mean, well pleased? Aren't you totally pleased?
Yeah, I'm talking about, I don't know what triggered, but you know, he said that we are the image and glory of God as well.
Yeah.
And I'm image and glory of God. And, you know, he says, you know, love your wife, like, I might be quoting this so wrong, but love your wife like, you know, Jesus loves the church. I mean, because and your wife is the glory of man. So whatever you think of as your wife has been this glorious thing, that is what Jesus wants to see in the church. You know what I mean? Oh, another thing I was going to say, I was reading yesterday. You know what Jesus says, greater things than this you will do? And I think I brought it up last week. It's like, well, we're going to do cool. I mean, like, okay, Pablo is going to do greater things than Jesus. But you know what? Okay, so the church is the body of Christ, right? I know it's in Corinthians 10 plus.
Yeah,
yeah. The church is the body of Christ. And he says, you know, one will do this, one will do that, one will do this, one will do this. But we are the body of Christ. Now, Christ is greater than Christ is the whole body. So he was able to do all those things. He did all that because he's everything. Now, as the body of Christ, if we as a church are the body of Christ, one that has this gift, the other one has this gift, and that's how we do greater things. Not that one person is going to do all these great things.
Right.
Or as a body, we do greater things. It's not going to be Corky by himself doing greater things than Christ.
That's good.
It's the body of Christ. See what I mean?
I think that is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently it wasn't Betty Hinn either.
Took the pressure off a little bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was feeling pretty good now. I thought I could be able to do all those
things. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Huh? It will nonetheless be greater works though.
Right, yes. Yes, greater.
Greater.
As a body.
Uh-huh.
As a body.
Yeah.
And then it says in Ephesians, but it says in several places, in different places, but it says that we will grow up into Him. We will grow up or grow into Him. I could find the one place by speaking the truth in love. We will grow up into Him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that back a while. I didn't put it together as the body of Christ, but I think I mentioned that, well, if we're all Christ, you know, it's like there's not just one Christ, there's going to be many doing many things, which he was one doing things,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the head of right. that body that's going right. to be doing everything.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what is interesting, it says, you know, when the body comes together, so it's like you can have an operating body, not necessarily within eyesight of each other. You know,
right.
you can be in, you know,
sure.
Arcadia, that one could be in Wausau, you still have a body, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's a spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really.
When you think of the way that the body is coordinated, the just reaching over and picking up, you know, it's just a remarkable, mm-hmm. remarkable thing. And to think of the body of Christ working with mm-hmm. that perfect coordination, mm-hmm. and, you know, everything just, you know, mm-hmm. operating, you know, just to perform some simple little function, you know.
Mm-hmm. I get a kick out of Paulo how he emphasizes the parts that aren't,
right.
you know, are the
comely parts or whatever.
Yeah, are the greater part in a way or something. And it's like, that's getting pretty right down to it. You know?
Yeah. But it, see, we don't, we the church basically does not see the scriptures. Remember how Jesus says, by your traditions, you make the word of God of no effect? It says, but speaking the truth in love, how vital is that? May grow up into him in all things. That's the basis for growing into Christ. He says, I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. And it says, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. That doesn't happen in the church. Fitly joined together? Fit? It's fit together. Is that what it says? Yes. Fitly joined together and compacted. Compacted. You put a, what do they call these things that compact the ground? You know what they are. They make a noise. They
compactors. Compactors. They are.
Compacted by that which every joint supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
That's quite a promise, isn't it?
But, or is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's coming.
The Bible says it's coming. Some of it's kind of fitly together in this room.
Yeah, it's fitting together in what God is doing in us. But I'm saying when you look at the overall picture,
yeah, well,
it's a one-man show.
You know, it really looks tough until you realize who's in charge. Mm. And then you go, stuff is beyond God.
And then,
yeah,
and then,
you know how in pool or something, you spot your opponent, he'll say, I tell you what, I'll beat you. You can have three balls and the break, and I'll still beat you. I'm not much of a fool, but that's what they, you know, that's,
yeah.
I think God has spotted the devil, three balls in the break. You know?
Yeah.
With the way the church is now, and it is going to take some fool game for him to be able to pull that off with the state of the church right now.
Yeah. The deception is so high.
Uh-huh.
The devil has deceived. You know, how does it say about, it says, deceiving and being deceived in
my faith is
2 Timothy.
My faith is unshaken that God wins.
Yeah.
It might look really difficult, but my faith is unshaken that God
wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Sure.
Anybody else got anything?
So,
love you all.